Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Monday, August 14th, 2017, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thanks for your belief and trust in us. We've got just a tremendous show, jam-packed show for you today. Jack Posobiec coming up, bottom of the hour, Pastor Paul Begley. And then to close out the show, the third hour, former CIA officer Kevin Shipp. So it's a full show as the program unfolds. Of course, the violence over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. We discussed that. I discussed that on my show this morning, 9 to 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. That's the Doug Hagmann show. And then Joe and John dissected it even better. I came at it from a different angle than Joe and John did. And at the bottom of this hour, we'll get into something that I think everyone needs to hear right before Paul Begley comes on. But having said that, it's amazing, Joe, what you've come up with in terms of the media. It's all about Donald Trump. It's not about the acts or the attack. It's not about the deaths.
That's right.
It's all about Donald Trump, isn't it?
And we were talking about this before the show. The media, for whatever reason, is blasting Trump and seems to be hating him more than the actual perpetrator who committed this act of violence. And one thing we talked about on our daily show today is one thing we don't know about this incident is the motivation of the driver. It appears to be, if this was intentional, if he got in the car intending to plow people over, yes, that is an act of terrorism, in my opinion. If there was other mitigating factors, we've seen other videos showing the car driving slowly down that road and for some reason speeding up. There was a couple objects, including a bat that hit his car. Either way, he obviously was something out of his mind and inexcusable.
Regardless.
Is, what was the, did he get in that car with the intention of mowing down a crowd of people?
That's right.
That's what we want to know.
Right. And we can't get inside his head, of course. I'd like to be there with for the interrogation. But you're right. However, the video that was shown is certainly damning. If we were the prosecution against this man, it's certainly damning for the defendant, certainly damning for the accused.
And I've seen three different angles.
Right.
And none of them look good, except the one that was from the rear down the street, where it shows that he wasn't just speeding down the street. At one point in time, he was very slowly creeping a number of other cars. But the motivation, we're never going to get the motivation. And what the media has done, they have turned this into a circus show.
Well, yeah.
Trump came out and condemned the attacks on Saturday.
Right.
And they got so angry. The media is so angry because he didn't mention KKK until today. And they're blaming him. We listened to an audio right before the show started. Director Rob Reiner said Trump is actually an accessory to murder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. Can you imagine the media holding Obama accountable for not calling out terrorism as radical Islamic terror? Could you imagine?
And we've seen it happen, of course, in our lifetime. We're waiting on Jack Posobiec to come on, of course.
Citizens for Trump is the book.
Yep. And if you haven't gotten your copy yet, boy, I'll tell you, it's a barn burner. It's like being there inside the campaign. But with respect to this particular incident, it's not just about this incident. You know, when you look at this from a wide angle with a wide angle lens, I'm gonna say right now, I do suspect that this was an intentional act by the driver of that car. How he was able to identify the anti-protesters or the anti protesters. You know what I'm talking about? How he was able to identify sides, I'm not certain, given how they were all attired. One thing I did notice, Faith Goldie, who we've had on our program, she was front and center there, 5 feet from the vehicle. She could have been killed.
Yeah, but she was very close. She actually took one of the, I believe her cameraman was right there taking one of the main videos that everybody used in the
I think she was holding one of the selfie sticks. I think.
I tried to contact her this yesterday
to
see if we could get her for 10, 15 minutes. She didn't get back to me, so obviously she's very busy and probably got a lot of...
But I just would wish, or I would just hope everyone doesn't look at just this incident. I would like everyone to look at the landscape, what's being created, the narrative that's being created, because we all sides are being gamed. And then that was what I said this morning. All sides are being gamed. Mm-hmm. And, all sides are being played. And, that's what we're seeing. And we have to look at the bigger picture here of what the intent of the gamers are. With us right now, Jack Posobiec, Citizens for Trump, the book. If you haven't gotten it, you got to buy it. It's a great book. It's tremendous. It's a great read.
First hand account of the process of the Donald Trump nomination to campaign to president, and it's
like being there.
Jack's first hand account. Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic book, Mr. Posobiec. Great to have you back on the show.
Guys, it is so great to be on. I really appreciate it. But boy, you know, there's that old, they say it's an Irish curse, and it says, may you live in interesting times. And it seems we find ourselves in interesting times today, don't we?
That we do. Well, we don't want to take a second away from you, Jack. We know you're busy. We have the march on Google, and of course the events over this past weekend. Where do you want to start? Do you want to, or just,
well, here's what's happening with the mainstream media is, and I'm sorry, I didn't get a check. Are you guys having me on? Can you have me on video or just audio?
No, you're on video, actually.
Looks and sounds
good.
Okay,
great, excellent. So what's happening now is the mainstream media is trying to conflate my march on Google with the events that happened in Charlottesville. They're trying to say that I was one of the events, the Charlottesville organizers. Guess what? I wasn't there. I was in Atlanta at the Trump event with Roger Stone and Pastor Mark Burns. I had nothing to do with it. But the mainstream media, the liars and the smear con artists in the mainstream media are saying, oh, this is where the next thing's going to be. This is where the white nationalists are taking their fight next. And so if you want to find the white nationalists, go find them at Jack Posobiec's event. And I'm saying, I disavowed them on Saturday. I disavowed their violence by name. I said it. I turned around and said, we're also committing to a peaceful rally. And I said, we're going to have a code of conduct. I don't even want to see hateful messages, signs, T-shirts, anything like that. I'm planning a march on Google regarding their firing of James DeMorey, this guy who penned the Google Manifesto, basically just trying to improve workplace conditions at Google, and they sacked him for it, which, guess what, is actually illegal under the National Labor Relations Act. But Google's not going to let us little thing like the national laws or federal laws get in their way. They're just going to go do that. But the mainstream media could care less. They're trying to gin up violence against me.
That's right.
Yes, they
are.
That's right. And, you know, last time you came on, Jack, I didn't get a chance to mention this to you, but it had just come out, and I'm looking for your part in here right now. The ADL did an article from far right to alt-right naming the hate, and you're listed in here under the category alt-light, but as a, I believe it says you are a white supremacist. Here it is. Jack Posobiec, a conspiracy theorist and author, organized June's rally against political violence, and it goes on from here. And it goes on to say, you know, you've promoted a range of lies, and it goes through the list. But it lumps you in with a number of people, some of whom are actually, you know, self-proclaimed Nazis or white supremacists. And it does this with a number of people, Tara McCarthy and others. This is what they're doing. They can't win with the arguments. They can't win, you know, with the common sense. So they have to just name all their enemies as racist, as haters, and as, you know, now, you know, the alt-right, I guess, is equating to white supremacists. Are you concerned that you're going to see counter-protesters now at your event due to their relabeling?
Absolutely. And, yep. And, you know, to mention your first point, when the ADL list came out, I was actually on vacation with my family in Poland. Believe it or not, the day it came out, we were visiting Auschwitz, of all places. I was visiting Auschwitz with my family as the ADL, which is run by a Barack Obama staffer now. He took it over very recently. We're visiting Auschwitz, saying a prayer for what happened there. And the ADL is naming me this hate group leader. And I go in and I say, what did they write about me? He said, well, he held a rally against political violence. And I said, that doesn't sound like a particularly hateful thing to do to me, does it? Six weeks ago, I held a rally against political violence, denouncing all political violence, especially these numbskulls, these idiots, these toxics on the white nationalist front. Got rid of, denounced all of them. But the ADL, which is clearly just out for political points, is trying to push back and say something like this. I've been involved in politics since 2004 as a conservative Republican, and to be included on a list like that when I've got lots of Jewish friends and colleagues, it's completely ridiculous, and it shows the partisanship of what used to be a great organization, the ADL, after it was taken over by Barack Obama staffers. Now we're seeing, as well, lots of counter-protesters have been organized. They're now calling for violence at my march on Google, which is supposed to be held this Saturday. I would say, I guess there's an asterisk on it right now, because honestly, so put yourself in my shoes for a second. Do you go on with the rally or not? We're going to kind of see how it goes. I'm not going to make a decision today, but we are doubling down on our disavowal of violence. I'm now seeing there was a Facebook event that was just created, calling for attacks on the march on Google. And it's led by people that are from Grassroots Campaigns, Inc. If you guys remember that Grassroots Campaigns, Inc., they were the ones that had a huge trouble, federal lawsuit during 2012 when they were working for Barack Obama. And in the past, it was they were working for Barack Obama under John Podesta. So John Podesta's old group is now calling for attacks on me. You see how the political games are intertwined, how they take one fringe group, hold them up, and turn it around and use it to attack people that are actually trying to do the right thing in American politics, but they do this up. And now we're finding new reports out at Zero Hedge that this guy, Jason Kessler, who organized this Charlottesville whole thing, he's a former organizer for the Occupy movement.
That's right.
Not only that, a prominent Obama supporter and a proponent of sanctuary cities. All of his politics on record up until the date that Trump was elected show him to be left-leaning and to be a Democrat, or at least promote their ideology until Trump was elected, until the day he was elected. So very questionable.
Very questionable. And actually, and I can tell you guys as well, is what their tactic was, they were trying to get people, con people, into coming out to their rallies and their organizations in order to smear them and further smear the Trump movement. I was asked to speak by these guys. This guy Kessler has been reaching out to me for months. I've got text messages and emails that he would go and get my email from someone and say, hey, come on out. It's a Trump rally. It's a Trump thing. I want you to come speak. And that's how they would say it. But then you get there and you show up and it's all, you know, Nazi flags and Confederate flags. And it's like, what the heck is going on here, right? Well, guess what? I've been in politics for a minute. I remember them doing this stuff to us back during the Tea Party days. And look, I could see it coming. So I said, no, I'm not going to go to your stupid event. Go con somebody else.
Man, okay. And you see, folks, the game, the gamesmanship that's being played here by the opposition groups, in the infiltration. So, Jack, all right, right now it's tentative. This weekend, March on Google, and of course, March on hashtag March on Google, as well as MarchOnGoogle.com. Still on right now, tentative, correct?
Yeah, I haven't made a decision at this point, so, you know, still on right now. But definitely, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, in the Navy, you know, you would always say full steam ahead. I wouldn't quite say full steam ahead right now. Because you got to understand, with politics and with movement politics that we're in now, right? This isn't just about Trump. It's not just about one person. It's about a movement. And things change on a very rapid basis. Last week when I announced these things, there was a lot of energy. People were super interested in it. Now people, because of the events of Charlottesville by these infiltrators, Now we're seeing things getting turned around. And people are saying, now the narrative is becoming, what kind of violence can we expect at the March on Google? And obviously, that's not the narrative that I'm looking for.
Right, and you're certainly not going to walk into that trap, and I fully understand that. All right.
No, that's something in the military, you know, they talk about, you know, I've served with Navy SEALs, I've served with EOD techs. You know, the first thing they say is the best way to get out of a bad situation is to not be there in the first place.
Amen to that. All right. Well, nonetheless, what happened at Google with the employee and the that's just horrible in terms of
yes.
So I mean that's going to still be here next month or whatever you decide to have this particular event.
Yeah, I can assure you, Google will not be going anywhere anytime soon.
Right. So okay, kind of going back to what happened this past weekend, if you don't mind, Jack, I see this as part of a larger game here. I think we're so close to really a hot civil war based on racial ideological lines. I mean, help me out here. What are we missing as a otherwise well-informed population? What are we specifically missing with respect to what we're seeing?
Let me show you a big piece of this that a lot of people started pointing out over the weekend. A lot of people started pointing out some pictures from 2014 of a group called Svoboda that were marching through the Maidan Square in Kiev, Ukraine, the capital. You know what they were doing? They were all dressed in black, and they were holding tiki torches, burning them. The exact same type of image that we saw out of Charlottesville with these groups. Now, go back with that and say, look, what do we know about Ukraine? We know that there were massive protests against the democratically elected president. We know that those protests were funded by George Soros, and in large part by the U.S. government. Victoria Nuland has come out and said this, that $5 billion went to opposition groups in Ukraine under Obama and Kerry's State Department at the time, because it started in 2013. John McCain, of course, heavily involved in this. John McCain flew over there and stood on stage with people that were essentially neo-Nazis. But the media, completely silent on all of this, right? Completely silent on how those protests were fomented. Then eventually the violence got so bad, calling for the resignation of the president, that Yanukovych, he fled the country, he abdicated power, and then a new pro-EU, pro-globalist guy, Lukashenko, came in. Poroshenko came in. So Lukashenko's the Belarus guy.
Right.
Get my Shenkos mixed up sometimes. But anyway, they used all of that to launch a coup against the democratically elected president. I'm wondering if that's the same kind of game plan we're seeing here. And if it's not a situation where, now clearly we're seeing that the deep state and the left wing are using this to call for the ouster of Steve Bannon and other advisors that are pro-Trump, pro-nationalist, pro-America first, right? With the campaign pledges and the agenda that President Trump gave during that time. They're immediately calling for firing Steve Bannon, a hugely organized hashtag campaign, all of liberal Hollywood and the mainstream media calling for Bannon's ouster, trying to tie him to these protests. And so we're seeing it now as undercutting the president's not only agenda, but his actual legitimacy as president, and that's the same thing we've been seeing since the day he was elected. First they said, well, he didn't win the popular vote, and then they said they wanted a recount, and then they said the Electoral College was going to vote against him, and you know, you remember all these things, and now we're seeing that, well, he can't control the country, and so he shouldn't be president. That's the next step. The next step is, since all of those things failed, since the Russian narrative has completely failed, now they're going to get more and more and increasingly violent to accelerate their plans.
So what we're watching here is a coup, asymmetrical attack
yes.
on President Trump, the presidency, and the president himself.
Yeah, believe me, I'm trained in fourth generation warfare when I was an intelligence officer in the Navy, and I know it when I see it, man. And that's exactly what this is. This is fourth generation asymmetric warfare being used against the president.
Okay, to what extent do you believe Hillary? We know Soros You brought up Kiev, Ukraine, the tiki torches, and we've watched your Twitter feed and others with the torches. We've seen the similarities. To what extent do you think Hillary Clinton, Obama, and others in the progressive circles are involved in this? We know Soros.
Sure, we know Soros definitely is involved. It's interesting to see, though, I would say. I think this is something where it's more along the lines of the Democratic operatives side that's more involved. People like Huma Abedin, people like John Podesta. Because if you notice, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, they were somewhat silent over the weekend, right? They were somewhat a little bit more silent. Now, Terry McAuliffe, who's the Virginia governor down there, he didn't have the opportunity to be silent because this was all taking place in his state. And he's, as the former DNC chairman, was able to use all of this to go directly back to Trump. So you had an opportunity where this is a guy who's a completely Team Clinton, Terry McAuliffe. He was the DNC chair while the Clintons were in power. He is definitely someone that's tied to Team Clinton. And it just goes to show that all of this happened in his watch down there in Charlottesville. A lot of questions that have been raised already about why weren't there things like protective barriers erected at the event? Why did the police stand down? Why wasn't, you know, those separate areas given for protesters and counter-protesters? Like, when we held something in Philadelphia, usually they say, okay, here's your corner, here's your corner. They put up fences, they put up barriers, and the two sides can't meet. In Charlottesville, none of that happened. So why wasn't it set up that way? Why were these two groups kind of allowed to go at each other?
And the cops left.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, Jack, is that not only did the cops allow the two groups to clash with each other for a long time, never getting involved, when they said that the rally turned into an unlawful assembly, the rally goers had to walk through where the counter protesters were, and there was no barrier there. There was no, and these people were already going at it, fighting each other.
It was like a gauntlet.
Yeah, and they made them instead of, you know, providing that barricade or personal space, you know, allowing these people attending the rally to leave, they made them walk through the mobs of people that they were fighting with, intensifying.
Exactly, and you know, police when they want to do it, they know how to do crowd control.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
at the DNC and the RNC. I saw the use of horses. I saw the use of tear gas. I saw the use of everything else. You know, when they were talking about using pepper spray in something like this at this event, you know, that's pretty extremely low level, low impact kind of implement. I mean, if you really want pepper spray, is like someone's mugging you and you want to spray them, or someone's resisting arrest and you spray them to get the handcuffs on. Pepper spray is not what you use for crowd control. No police are really trained to do that when it comes to controlling massive crowds, huge amounts of people. That's not standard operating procedure for crowd control. So why were they using pepper spray? Why weren't they using something more advanced, something that would be more applicable to a crowd situation?
Exactly.
And there's a number of non-lethal options out there. We've seen them. You know, what's really troubling about this is the pattern where, whether it's from Berkeley to even a little bit at the inauguration, we continue to see these stand down orders given to police. We continue to see what the Antifa groups and the left and the violence that they create continues to go unchecked by the police.
Well, the mayor there was associated with the Center for American Progress.
Oh yeah, he's worked with John Podesta.
And Podesta, yeah. Yeah.
So
that's right. And to be honest, this is something where I've personally been calling for the labeling of Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. I've been saying that since January when they attacked the Deplorable, which I was one of the co-organizers of. So I would love for the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, hey, I know he's got a lot on his plate, and I don't envy his position right now, but I think it is imperative that these organizations that have stood for organized national violence against free speech, First Amendment advocates, or just simple rallies where people want to have their political voice heard, that these organizations be labeled as domestic terrorist organizations. This absolutely has to be done. It should have been done in January. We have an opportunity to do it now. And I hope that with the FBI's investigation of the events of Charlottesville, that it won't just be a one-sided thing, that you look into both sides that were involved in what happened there, and then potentially label both of them domestic terrorist organizations, if applicable, because that is the only thing, investigation and clamping down on this type of behavior, that's actually going to stop it. If people see the federal government come in and do something about it, then they're not going to want to do to continue down that path.
No, I agree with you. And Jack, you're somebody who's very well traveled, especially when we're talking about the Trump campaign and his presidency so far. You've been around a lot of these groups, and we continue to see the media promote this, you know, conservatives or neo-Nazis, and the alt-right is, you know, a bunch of white supremacists. How prevalent would you say, you know, this neo-Nazi, Nazi, white supremacist movement is in the inside the conservative movement?
You got about a minute, Jack.
Oh, gosh. Less than a percent of a percent. I mean, usually these are the people that show up at the end of a rally and then are asked to leave by security when they see that, you know, them coming up with their pamphlets of white supremacy and national. Nobody wants to be part of it.
Right.
Nobody wants a part of this. This is a total media creation. They are not real. They are a fringe, tiny fringe movement on the speck of what's going on in American politics.
Kind of like what Antifa would be described to versus the, you know, normal American Democrats.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Jack, people can follow you on Twitter. And, of
need
course,
need to stay updated to see if, what right. The information on the rally will be.
That's right. And also, your book is fantastic. Hopefully, it's everyone needs to read.
Citizens for Trump.
Right. Jack, thank you so very much, man.
Thanks, guys, so. I always appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
We appreciate having you coming on such a day as this.
And when you do decide, and when the Google event is locked down, we will be sure to promote it here on our show and on our social media.
Yeah.
So we'll be monitoring your Twitter account for that, and we wish you the best.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, thanks for the time.
Take care.
Folks, we will be right back with Pastor Paul Begley from the show The Coming Apocalypse. One of the first guests ever on the Hagman Report show over 6 years ago, a great friend of ours. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad you're joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. Please, hey, join us for our different shows. We've expanded. We've added 2 additional hours of broadcast. My show, 9 to 10 a.m. every weekday, sometimes on the weekend. And, of course, John Robertson and Joe Hagman, my son, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And right here, both on the Global Star Radio Network and BTR.
If you want a sample of the shows, there's a few episodes, one of the Doug Hagman show and two of ours, one from 2 weeks ago Saturday and then, or a week ago Saturday and then this Saturday we put it up, and you put one up this Saturday also.
So not those, from Saturday, but right. That's the day we put
so
it
there,
up.
So there's a few episodes on YouTube for folks who don't want to go search for it or tune into Global Star to listen to it. Just
or
to
BTR,
check it out.
Actually. And I would, you know what, and since you brought that up, if you do listen to our show on whatever platform, follow our individual shows on BTR. There's a little follow button there. Go ahead and click that follow. That way you'll be reminded, and especially if we do a special broadcast, you'll get a notification before anyone else. So, Global Star Radio Network, BTR. And I would urge everyone to listen. They're only an hour each, and it's news heavy. It's complimentary to, of course, the Hagman Report, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. All heard, again, on the Global Star Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. That's BTR. Find folks there, and we love Global Star Radio Network as well. Before moving on, I want to let everyone know, if you're a business owner, oh, pay attention, because portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring? If you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? We've got the answer for you right now today. And you've got to listen later on, but, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. If you are looking for that perfect candidate, and people are hiring like crazy today. So, if you're a business owner and you don't know where to post your job, post it at ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on that later. Now, during my show, and again, I approach it differently than you and John did. I listened to your show. I got to tell you, you really kind of segmented the events of Charlottesville, what happened there, very well. I took a different approach to this. But it's interesting, because what you said about the media, Joe, is what you said about the media's reaction and them hating Trump more than the perpetrator, I think it's important.
Yeah, so, you did a great job this morning laying this out and showing the examples. But folks, if you haven't listened to one of the first things I did when I came into the studios, I sat down and listened to the beginning of his show, and he did frame it up real nice, and it makes a lot of sense.
Well, here's one of the things. Remember last summer, the assassination of the 5 Dallas police officers by a black man. And remember, the motive was clear. It was a black guy protesting or actually acting out against police violence on black people. That was the motive. That was the stated motive. That was the intent. It was very clear. And of course, this took place. That incident took place when Barack Hussein Obama was in Poland. Well, in Europe, and ultimately in Poland. And 2 days after the event, and we're going to play a clip right now that I played on the morning show, but I'd like you to take a listen to this and compare this to what the media, and Joe said it really well upon hearing it, The media is blaming Donald Trump for not denouncing the motivations by not saying white supremacist or white nationalist or KK, which he ultimately did, but by not denouncing it. Listen to how Barack Hussein Obama, clip one. Listen to how Barack Hussein Obama responded to the question of a reporter. Now this is about a 6-minute clip. If you want to play the whole clip, or if you can jump in, well, go ahead and play the whole thing. At your convenience. It'd be clip one.
Thanks, Mr. President. I wanted to specifically ask about the Dallas shooting and the attacker there. Now that we know more about the man who we believe did those crimes, I'm wondering if you could help us understand how you describe his motives. Do you consider this an act of domestic terrorism? Was this a hate crime? Was this a mentally ill man with a gun? How should Americans understand why that happened? And then also on the issue of political division and looking for solutions, there have been some critics who noted that you immediately mentioned your call for gun control soon after the attacks. Do you think that in any way encourages or ensures that people retreat to their corners as they think about this?
First of all, I think it's very hard to untangle the motives of this shooter. As we've seen in a whole range of incidents with mass shooters, they are by definition troubled. By definition, if you shoot people who pose no threat to you, strangers, you have a troubled mind. What triggers that, what feeds it, what sets it off, I'll leave that to psychologists and people who study these kinds of incidents. What I can say is that although he may have used as an excuse his anger about previous incidents, as has been indicated at least in the press, and as Chief Brown, I think, indicated. In no way does that represent what the overwhelming majority of Americans think. So I think the danger, as I said, is that we somehow suggest that the act of a troubled individual speaks to some larger political statement across the country. It doesn't. And we shouldn't make those assumptions around a troubled Muslim individual who is acting on their own in that same way.
Aren't you glad that guy isn't president anymore? Folks, did you hear Obama's response? What was it? 5 Dallas police officers were shot, 2 or 3 were killed in that ambush that took place. And he can barely even, he says, oh, it's not terrorism, it's a troubled kid. It's a troubled mind. And today.
Motive? What? Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And I'll leave that to the psychologists. And where was the CNN reporters, the MSNBC reporters demanding that, Obama call this man a domestic terrorist? There's a few articles right now that clarify exactly what's going on. Never satisfied. CNN lambast Trump for new Charlottesville remark. Seconds after Trump's Monday remarks, finally calling out the KKK, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists by name, CNN hosts and MSNBC hosts and others continue to say that, he had not gone far enough and not done enough in his remarks. He did not outreach to the people. He did not, make the victims feel that he was on their side with his. They go on and on and on to say that he didn't do enough, even though on Saturday he came out and condemned racism, condemned hate and bigotry, and said that they were the acts of a coward and that the violence came from many sides. But here, they continue to say because he didn't list or say the name KKK when he was denouncing the violence, that somehow not only was he negligent and, you know, is on the side of the people from the KKK, but even, as Rob Reiner says, go as far to call him an accessory after the fact.
Well,
it's absolutely insane.
It's ridiculous. And before we get to, before we get Paul, Pastor Paul Begley on, about a 50-second clip, this, the debate on October 19th, 2016, Chris Wallace from Fox News was the moderator of this debate, asking a pretty incendiary question, but this goes back again to October of 2016. Chris Wallace asking the question about Donald Trump's, hey, do you denounce the KKK? Do you denounce David Duke? Go ahead and play that clip, Eric.
Mr. Trump, Romney also talked about your position on race and the controversy over your failure to denounce David Duke on Sunday. You have repeatedly disavowed him since then, but I'd like to go deeper than that. What are your views on the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists?
I totally disavow the Ku Klux Klan. I totally disavow David Duke. I've been doing it now for 2 weeks. This is, you're probably about the 18th person that's asked me the question. It was very clear. That question was also talked about in the form of groups. Groups. I want to know, which groups are you talking about? You have to tell me which groups. Ultimately, he got to the Ku Klux Klan, which obviously I'm going to disavow. And by the way, if you look on my Twitter account, almost immediately after the program, they were disavowed again. You know, it's amazing. When I do something on Twitter, everybody picks it up, goes all over the place. But when I did this one, nobody ever picks it up. Take a look at my Twitter account.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thanks. Senator Rubin.
And there is Donald Trump's from back in March, where he, oh, I'm sorry, October of 2016, where he disavowed and condemned David Duke and the KKK and white supremacy. But obviously that's not enough for the news media. And as MSNBC said, Trump did not do enough. He met the lowest bar possible, according to them. Even though the same day the incident happened, the attack happened, he came out and condemned the hate, condemned the bigotry, condemned the violence. But because he didn't mention the white supremacist, you know, by label, didn't mention the KKK by name, it was not satisfactory for the news media. I heard it was either on Sean Hannity or on CNN today. Someone make the argument that Trump could have flew Marine One helicopter down to Charlottesville, could have went into the jail cell where the man who carried out the attack was being held and executed him, shot him in the head, and he would be criticized for not using the right caliber bullet. I mean, what do they want from Donald Trump? He is not the bishop of America. He's not supposed to, you know, every time an incident happens inside the country, whether it has national attention or not, he does not need to comment. And the fact that he did comment on it on Saturday against the hatred, against the bigotry, I believe that encompasses white supremacy. I believe hatred and bigotry encompasses Nazis and the Nazi ideology. But because he didn't label them by name in his statements, you know, they're going to try to make it in some way like it's his fault and he's not doing enough and he supports them, because he hasn't singled them out by name. It's absolutely insane.
Oh,
very
Obama
frustrating.
Singled out the, you know,
everybody,
the
Muslims,
but right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, no,
no,
I'm
workplace.
Sorry.
I mean, the Fort Hood shooter,
that's right,
massacred how many Marines? Or was it the Army? I can't remember. Yeah. But that was workplace violence.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Nadal Hassan.
But my before we bring Pastor on, this is my question to you. Obviously, the guy who drove the car, inexcusable his actions, especially if it was intentional. But say he got scared, it was a flight or fight scenario for whatever happened. So he runs into the crowd. All of a sudden, there's people jumping on the back of the car, you know, smashing the car with pipes and whatnot. And from what I understood, when he reversed from that is when the lady got killed. Now, if she was on the back of the car hitting the car with pipes, I'm not saying that she shares any responsibility in this. But is there any kind of legal argument that could be made that for making the bad situation worse? If, let's say, he comes out and says, I never intended to run these people down. I was scared that I was in fear for my life. Obviously, even then, his actions, he should have just reversed in the first place. But did they add fuel to the fire for jumping on his car and smashing
him? I don't think so. Just because of the situation, you've got I don't believe that to be the case.
Right, and okay. I wasn't trying to make the victim
as
a guilty or saying they're responsible for it. I just wondered if there's a legal argument.
Well, let's bring Pastor Paul Bagley on and see what he's got to say about all of this. But a very interesting legal argument there. And that's the key word here when you're looking at this, because sometimes the law does not make sense. Trust me when I say that after 30 years of investigations and court hearings and trials.
Pastor Paul Bagley, the host of The Coming Apocalypse, paulbagleyprophecy.com, is our guest, great friend of the show, one of the first guests, if not the first guest, on the Hagman Report long, long ago when we first got our start. Pastor, welcome back to the show.
It is great, Joe, Doug. It is great to be with you guys again. I mean, great show. Great show. I mean, tremendous dialogue going on right now.
Well, come on in. The water's fine. yeah. Help us make sense of all this, Pastor. What did we see over the weekend sense?
George Soros and Rupert Murdoch all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the mainstream, lamestream fake news media, they're always going to hype up any kind of situation that they can build chaos and then twist the story no matter what it is. I mean, remember when President Trump was inaugurated, he just got his hand off of the Abraham Lincoln Bible. The sun had not set on his first day, and there were people rioting in the streets, doing all kinds of things, but the media was down there with the cameras and the trucks ready. They were helping establish it. Where's Terry McCullough, the Virginia governor, and the mayor of Charlottesville, because the permits that were issued and the setting that was put in place and the media was brought in way in advance. They knew this confrontation was going to happen. And then George Soros, of course, pays the counter protesters to come down there. And this is what you end up getting. And all this chaos was set up just to make President Donald Trump look like it's his fault. This is a manufactured media event. Now, I'm not giving a pass at all to the KKK, white supremacist, you know, neo-Nazi guys. These guys they're so far off track and they're filled with so much hate. It's unbelievable. But this is partly the plan, the chaos of the left to try to tear down the Trump presidency.
No, you're exactly right. Pastor, what do you say to the media response to all this? Now, if you remember when Steve Scalise was shot, I believe you were on our show, just that day or right around that time, when Steve Scalise was shot, I remember specifically the political pundits and the media saying, let's not politicize this. You know, this is a time for unity to come together. Basically shying away from the political motivations of that shooter. Now we see the complete opposite here, and we don't even know the true motives. I mean, this was obviously the guy plowed through a crowd with a vehicle, but we have not heard from the police or seen a police report where he has confessed or said that he, you know, did it for this or that reason. But here we see the media basically trying to not only lump Donald Trump in as a white supremacist, but basically anybody who supports Trump as a white supremacist. What do you have to say to the media hypocrisy that continues to get worse and worse as time goes on?
I mean, are you serious, guys? I'm so tired. I mean, I'm so tired of that. Lawrence O'Donnell. You know, he's always got the last word. I wish he had no word because the guy is an absolute joke on television. And Rachel Maddow, I can't even listen to her voice. Here's what's happened. This is unbelievable hypocrisy with a capital H. We got a senator, I mean, a congressman gunned down in cold blood. And in the back pocket of the shooter, he's got six more names. All of them, which are conservative Christian, and matter of fact, Solis that day was going to implement a bill. He's going to put it on the floor to deal with child trafficking. I mean, these guys don't do their job no more. They're not journalists. MSNBC, morning joke in the morning. It's become an absolutely insane. They are not journalists. They don't even know the first, they are propagandists, they're paid actors. They can't even talk unless they got a teleprompter. It doesn't, what they say, they don't even believe in their own soul. And so their bias is seething. It's and CNN, forget it. Forget it. I mean, Wolf Blitzer and the Situation Room. I mean, I'm tired of this. I don't even know how the American public stomach them. And that's why their numbers are falling. I mean, they're falling. I mean, that's what's wrong. And that's why your numbers and our numbers and, us over here in alternative media, why our numbers are rising. Even despite all of the Rupert Murdoch, net neutrality, algorithms and everything else that we're being thrown at us, they still can't stop us. They don't tell the truth. You know, I'll tell the truth. The guys, the idiots, I shouldn't say it that way. The guys that were, from the white supremacists, all these guys, look, they have a right to do a friendly, freedom of speech. Okay, everybody does. But you don't show up with billy clubs. You don't come in there looking to bust heads. I mean, and you can't preach hate everywhere you go. And the same thing with Black Lives Matter and Black Power and Black Panthers. It's the same thing. KKK, it doesn't matter. They're all filled with hate. And the media is biased on how they portray this.
Boy, the media really facilitates and foments, helps foment the hate. Folks, we're talking with Pastor Paul Begley, paulbegleyprophecy.com. Pastor, for those people who don't know you, which I believe is probably few, but we got new numbers in here just this past weekend, and our audience has grown. So if you don't mind, where can people find you, listen to you? Just tell the new listeners when your show airs, and go ahead.
Yeah, come to my website at paulbegleyprophecy.com. I appreciate it very much, Doug, you bring that forward. My YouTube channel, Paul Begley. And my daily show that's 12 noon to 2. And then, of course, I'm doing this night show Monday through Thursday, but Sunday Night Lives at 7. You could just come to paulbegleyprophecy.com. We're on new live stream, Roku Satellite, Blog Talk Radio. Our television show is doing extremely well. So if you've got DirecTV on Sunday nights at 10:30, I think it is, Eastern time.
I watched it two weekends ago, I think it was.
Okay.
Fantastic. Okay. I forgive me, I'm not sure the exact, but I'll tell you, your television show is absolutely, it's excellent. DirecTV, 326, guaranteed.
Thank you.
You know.
Amen. It's really good. Yep. And people are really enjoying it, so thank you.
Man,
I'm out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, people on Mars know who you are. You know, come to think of it, correct me if I'm wrong. You were you not, or the last time that you were on, or recently, weren't you featured on some other program, or am I?
No, what Pastor was going to do, there was a TV show, a series that was going to be made. The last. Preacher?
Evangelist. The last evangelist.
Yes.
Yes, that is still on. I'm going to be in, it's a six part, season one has six parts. I'm going to be in one of the episodes, quite lengthy in that one episode. There's a lot of Hollywood actors that are involved, and David Heavener is the Hollywood producer that's producing the film. It's called The Last Evangelist. It has to do with an apocalyptic conclusion, that it's the New World Order trying to implement the mark of the beast and the underground church trying to hide, and I'm in there. I even pull a gun on somebody, so I mean, you know, this is going to be radical.
So it is a reality. It's reality TV.
It really is reality. It really is.
Hey, folks,
I'm in a bunker.
Locked and loaded, man.
Are you ready? So anyway, and I'm going to be in another one. There's a documentary coming out called, I'm trying to remember, I think it's called The Sign, and that's coming out next month, and I'm going to be in that. There's going to be several people in that. Has to do with the solar eclipse and the constellation on September 23rd in Revelation, so I'll be in that one also. That's coming out next month.
And Pastor, I want to definitely get into those events. We only have about 2 minutes before the break, so I want to ask you this. This incident in Charlottesville that happened on Saturday, apparently this Unite the Right rally there's a lot of questions as to the person who spearheaded this rally,
Jason Kessler,
and his true allegiance and ideology. But basically, they were going to protect a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from being removed. And we've seen this in a number of states across the U.S. They continue to want to remove Confederate generals, even digging up graves of Confederate soldiers and whatnot, and moving them to other states. What do you think about them? Do you see this as a move that will unify the country, or is this just more of this liberal insanity and trying to rewrite history to fit their narrative?
You've just nailed it. It doesn't do any good. Look, the Civil War was a horrible stain on the banner of the United States. But it happened, and it happened for reasons. And now that it is long gone, it's still part of history. So, you know, whether Jefferson Davis or Robert E. Lee or some of the other generals involved and the people who fought, these were Americans fighting for the South and Americans fighting for the North. The passions were high, and the bloodshed was horrible, but tearing down the statues, taking down the Confederate flag, or doing other things. All this is doing, they're trying to wipe away history. Once they wipe that away, they will start to wipe away our Christian heritage as well. And they'll wipe away World War I, World War II. Okay? This is all part of the beast's plan to eliminate history, to bring about globalism. Anything that has to do with nationalism or America, they are fighting against it. That's why they're changing our curriculum in our schools. That's why they're rewriting it. It's wrong.
You're exactly right, Pastor. Folks, Pastor Paul Begley is our guest. PaulBegleyProphecy.com is the website. He's going to be with us through the next hour. We got him for a whole nother hour as this segment went by so fast. Check out his radio show, The Coming Apocalypse. Not only that, you can watch him as he does the radio show. He also has a fantastic YouTube channel, Paul Begley. Is it Paul Begley 34 on YouTube?
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Paul Begley 34, where he does a number of videos daily breaking down individual important news of the day. Folks, we'll be right back with Pastor Paul after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
All Greenovative. Clear. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.